I am on a walk on the seashore. It's a great time for it. Summer is winding up, but the day is still warm. The tide is coming in and crashing on the rocks. Swept by the waves, the rocks look barren at the first glance. But on closer inspection, I was surprised to find that the rocks were fully covered with little plants and tiny animals. Little clusters of seaweed dangling, mollusks, and dark-colored mussels all hang on to the rock, which is around the size of a small desk. I took a few pictures on my phone to try and identify the species when I got home. And with some research online, I discovered a whole new world of wildlife found in what's called the intertidal zone, the area where the land meets the sea. During Sea Week, which is around the first week of March, I had the opportunity to go out with a team of marine educators and learn more about the seashore and its wildlife. I've tagged along with Tamlin Summerford and others for a coastal care workshop at Tomahawk Beach near Dunedin.
If the ocean were a person, what is their mood today?
This is Tamlin, Community Engagement Coordinator at the New Zealand Marine Studies Centre. She's doing an activity with a young participant that encourages to look at the ocean and think, if the ocean was a person, what would be its mood today?
Yeah, what makes you think happy?
It's like dancing up and down the waves.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. So you can see it's dancing. Do you think it seems like the waves are rough, or do you think they're calm?
I think it's kind of like rough dancing.
You're listening to Tune Into Nature with me, Karthik. In this episode, we are going to explore the seashore with the team from the New Zealand Marine Studies Centre and learn about fascinating little critters found on the coast. And we are also going to find out about the citizen science project, Marine Meter Squared. It is a survey of a 1 square meter patch of the seashore, and all tiny animals, plants found in the patch are recorded on a data sheet. Here's Sally Carson, director of the New Zealand Marine Studies Centre.
When you look at just a small area of the shoreline, you tend to look in more depth. So you see more detail and you discover things that you never knew were living on your shore. Yes, there's crabs and yes, there's snails, but when you look closer, you'll find worms and amphipods and isopods and all these little critters, little tiny brittle stars and little sea cucumbers and so many cool animals that are living as our seashore neighbors. And we can all have a part in looking after them.
Aotearoa, New Zealand, has a coastline of over 15,000 kilometers. It ranges from soft sandy beaches to rugged rocky cliffs. From the world's smallest penguins, the little blues, that nest on the coast, to massive humpback whales that visit the waters, New Zealand is famous for its charismatic marine wildlife. But a multitude of tiny little critters can be found right on the seashore, in cracks and crevices of coastal rocks, living in the intertidal zone. Picture a seashore. The high tide line will be further up the shore towards the land, and the low tide line will be down the shore towards the ocean. This region between the high and the low tide lines is known as the intertidal zone. The zone is completely covered by seawater at high tide and totally exposed during the low tide. And this happens twice every day. So animals and plants living here must be well adapted for these constant changes. On the rocky shore, barnacles, a type of crustaceans, seaweed and mussels anchor themselves to the rocks to survive the crashing waves. The common triple fin fish lay eggs on the rocks, and the males will stick around in the rock pool guarding the eggs. The coast and the ocean are a main part of Maori culture. The Maori people gather kaimoana, seafood, and acknowledge that it belongs to Tangaroa, the god of the sea. Before heading off for fishing, or for gathering food, they recite karakia, prayers to respect the sea. So the health of the intertidal zone and its wildlife is important to the natural and cultural heritage of Aotearoa, New Zealand. In order to document the critters of the shore, the Marine Meter Squared project came about.
So the Marine Meter Squared project came about because I had lots of schools that and teachers that were telling me that they go down to the same shore every year with their class, and they've been doing that for the last 10 years, and they've seen the shore change. We thought, well, here's a data source. There's, you know, what's happening to the data that every school child collects when they go down to the shore? And we just discovered that, you know, it was in a teacher's bottom drawer. It wasn't being shared. And it's the people that are down on the same shore, whether they're walking the dog or going down with a school trip, that know that shore. They know when it changes. They can see the changes. And we thought, they're a very valuable resource. So we developed a citizen science project to capture that data, to capture that local knowledge of what's normal on their shoreline and get them involved in actually contributing to our understanding of the seashores around New Zealand. There's no way that scientists could get to every shore. So their knowledge and understanding is really important. So it's about collecting baseline data. We put down a square, 1 meter by 1 meter, and we count and identify the different plants and animals found within. So it's quite easy. We provide identification guides and support to help identify the species.
Back at Tomahawk Beach, a square pipe frame marks the patch on a boulder, and the team has started to count the critters.
There is this.
Oh yeah, there's a chitin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So let's focus on if we focus on this square. We have, yeah, you essentially just kind of work your way through. So we definitely have a chitin.
This is Zoe Saratakis, educator at the New Zealand Marine Studies Center. She's helping the team identify the critters, and they have spotted a chitin.
I like chitins, they're cool. They have iron in their mouth bits, in their, it's called, I think, a radula, and they'll like scrape off the coralline algae, and that's what they eat.
So chitins are usually oval-shaped mollusks that have a protective shell and a soft body. The snakeskin chitin, as Zoe explained, has iron magnetite in their mouths and feed on seaweed. They look like miniature tortoise shells with the snakeskin wrapped around the edges, and they are about the size of a small coin. The snakeskin chitin was on the news headlines last year when it was selected as a finalist in the International Mollusk of the Year contest. The contest is run by Senckenberg Museum, one of the largest natural history museums in Germany. New Zealand is a chitin hotspot. More than 55 species of chitins are found in Aotearoa's waters, a share of about 8.5% of the chitin species worldwide.
Is this the same thing? No.
Those are anemones.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So those. So we have three anemones over there. Sorry, squirting water. And those kind of anemones, it's hard to sometimes. They're probably just tide pool anemones. Sometimes we get the olive.
Are these anemones?
Yeah. Boop. So if you push them, they kind of squirt in. Right now, all of their tentacles are sucked in so they don't dry out.
Wow.
And so we have like, what, 3, 4?
5.
The tide pool anemone is a little brownish critter about the size of about a couple of centimeters and has tentacles all around. They feed by filtering tiny planktons from the seawater.
Look, these ones are moving too. Where are they? These ones are just like shifting around the barnacles really slowly. It's interesting, I didn't even think they would move, but they actually are moving.
Tom is one of the participants of the workshop, and he's found the limpet moving on the rocks.
It's interesting, like you come over here and you look at these little shells stuck to the rock, and usually just be like, oh, it's just stuck there or whatever, but these things are actually moving around really slowly, like snail pace. Slower than snail pace.
Limpets are mollusks with cone-shaped shells. At the first glance, they may just look like a shell on the rock, like Tom had said, but they have a soft body and a muscular foot to grip tightly and move slowly on the rock.
It's like stopping and smelling the roses, you know? It's like you just get on your haunches and have a look at the small things and realize that there's actually a huge almost uncountable multitude of them around us, and that they're all living. Hopefully, you know, a bit of what these, you know, young scientists have been building up can rub off on me, and then I can, you know, like, have a bit more appreciation for it all. And citizen science is cool too, you know, like the more citizens engage with a bit of understanding and mātauranga around the world around us, then probably the better we'll integrate with it, I suppose, as well.
Cassandra is another participant of the workshop, and she shares how it went.
I think it's a really interesting project. Like, I would never have thought to do something like this, you know, if I go to the beach and like a boulder is just a boulder to me, but now, you know, you can see like there's actually life and, you know, many different varieties of creatures on it. So I think it's an eye-opener, like, for me personally, because I'm not affiliated to marine science at all. I'm just going to take the knowledge with me, and I think I'm just going to approach the moana, like the sea life, a little bit differently, because I'm a bit more attuned to like the, you know, in just 1 meter square you can see so many, you know, life forms. So I think I'll just have a different perspective on the things around me when I'm at the beach.
Zoe gives a summary of the critters spotted in the workshop.
One group found just like a little fish in an anemone pool within their meter squared. That fish was a juvenile, so maybe it is a triple fin, but hard to identify. They were quite enthusiastic about that, so counting that, hundreds, maybe even thousands for the barnacles and the mussels we found. Also lots of different kinds of seaweeds, so even little growths. So we had some sea lettuce and sea sponges and lots of branching coralline algae, which I actually haven't seen a ton of before.
Going by the data gathered so far, there are some important findings, like critters that once used to be common in Otago, but are now rarely found.
We have a cool little sea star called the 4+4 sea star that is found here. It's one of the few places in New Zealand that it seems to occur. But we also have species like a little brachiopod that nobody has seen for many years that used to be in Otago Harbour.
In 2016, the Otago Harbour was deepened by removing sediments, and there were concerns about the impact on the ecosystem.
We had the port company got resource consent to deepen the shipping channel. So to extract something like 7.3 million cubic meters of sediment to deepen and widen the channel. So that extra sediment in the water makes the water cloudy, makes it difficult for plants to grow because they get less light. It clogs up feeding structures of marine organisms. So it can have an impact on the marine life.
The marine meter squared method was used by school students to study and report the consequences of that dredging.
So we had schools around the Otago Harbour have sites where they monitored the rocky intertidal over a 3-year period. And each year they presented their data to the scientists, to the port company, shared it with the other schools that were involved, and made a real contribution to our understanding. And certainly in areas where the sediment did accumulate, we did see a change in population. But once the dredging was reduced again, the sediment dispersed and the communities recovered quite well.
At Tomahawk Beach, before wrapping up the workshop, the participants did a set of little activities called the Science of the Sea. These are simple and fun to do and are designed to encourage people to observe and understand the ocean. We heard from Tamblyn at the start doing an activity to guess the ocean's mood, and there's one activity that's very relevant to the theme of our podcast.
This is actually one of my favorite ones, Naho o Te Moana, Sounds by the Sea. So with this one, we get people to close their eyes for 30 seconds and to notice the sounds that are happening around them. And what they want to do is identify the sounds, where the direction they're coming from and how far away they are from them. So to do this, they can make a map on the sand. They can have themselves in the middle, and they could use shells or pebbles and place those shells the distance from them that they think the sound is from their body and the direction, and create this little map around their body of sounds using symbols or stones or shells. So they can repeat this multiple times if they were doing it on their own walk, and notice how sounds change over time. And these sounds could be environmental sounds, like the waves, they could be people, they could be like the gulls that we can hear squawking right now, but they could also be sounds from boats or other human impact-based sounds. Our purpose is really just to, first and foremost, connect people with the ocean in whatever way works for them. So I think we really did that today, and I really appreciate it from everyone. I'll just end the session with our karakia, and then we can still hang around and chat and stuff like that, but just as a formal ending. E te atua, arahina, mātou, manaakitia, ngā taonga, atangaroa. So, thank you, everyone.
With the impacts of climate change on our marine environment, projects like the Marine Meter Square help keep track of how the coast is changing while encouraging people to explore and connect with the seashore. You're listening to Tune Into Nature with me, Karthik. We will be back with more nature sounds and stories, so do subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. If you like this episode, please leave a rating and share your comments. You can do this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on our Facebook page, Tune Into Nature Podcast. Thanks to the New Zealand Marine Studies Centre. To learn more about the seashore creatures, head over to the website mm2.net.nz. That's mm2.net.nz. There are some cool resources, guides, and activity books for everyone to use. This podcast is supported by Otago Regional Council's Eco Fund. Thanks to Otago Access Radio. Thanks to Professor Nancy Longnecker from the Centre for Science Communication, University of Otago. Music for this podcast is from Blue Dot Sessions. This is Karthik signing off. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.